First, it's time for Food Friday. We don't get to say this often, but there's a new hot vegetable in town. You may have noticed that home cooks and professional chefs are jumping on the sweet potato bandwagon, and for good reason. They're good for you, relatively inexpensive, and they taste great. Well, all that combined has led our next guest to call sweet potatoes the perfect food. And in a new cookbook, she's sharing some ideas for creating delicious and unique dishes with sweet potatoes from classics, like sweet potato fries and chips, to more adventurous stuff like sweet potato cinnamon rolls and ice cream. Mary Frances Heck joins us now. She's a food writer, recipe developer, and chef. Also the former Test Kitchen director of Bon Appetit. Her new book is called Sweet Potatoes, Roasted, Loaded Fries, and Made into Pie. Mary Frances, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as we mentioned there, you think sweet potatoes are the perfect food. Tell us why that is.
Well, I love sweet potatoes. I mean, who doesn't like them? You know, just to have a roasted sweet potato at dinner is a delicious thing. But on top of that, they're super nutritious. And it's one of those things you can either get kids to eat them, people who are not super adventurous about vegetables. You know, everybody kind of likes them. They're very appealing, but they're also really healthy.
Right, and they haven't necessarily. I mean, they've been around for a very long time, but it seems like their popularity, on the other hand, is skyrocketing. Now you see things like sweet potato fries on menus alongside, you know, regular French fries. Why is it? Why do you think they're picking up in popularity?
Well, I think there are a few reasons. I think the reason they've become popular now is that they are, they've been promoted as part of a couple of diets. So folks who might have concerns with blood sugar or, you know, high cholesterol and they need to eat a high-fiber diet, they can eat sweet potatoes sort of without worry. And they're sort of a delicious thing that you can dress up or just have simply. In addition, they've been included in diets like Whole30 and, you know, the paleo kind of ideas of eating. They're sort of an allowed starch within those diets. So I think people are just sort of interested in learning about dishes that you can make that aren't, like I said, just a plain roasted sweet potato as well.
And the crazy thing is, it seems like you can do almost anything with them. You can turn them into breads. You can put them into desserts. And then, of course, you know, you've got your sweet potato fries. You have a recipe for a sweet potato Big Mac, which looks really, really good, I have to say. Why? What is it about them that makes them so versatile?
Well, so they kind of toe the line between savory and sweet. So you've got sort of an earthy quality to them. Depending on how they're cooked, they could either be silky or starchy. They can hold their shape or fall apart. And so with those qualities in mind, they're very adaptable to the recipes that you just mentioned and many other ideas. I found particularly in baking that a cooked mashed sweet potato can be added to any variety of doughs or batters to make really interesting breads and cakes that are, beautiful, orange, sweet, but also they've got a little more nutrition. So they're a little bit better for you. Not so sinful, but just as indulgent.
Now, I get a little confused between sweet potatoes and yams. Usually this happens around Thanksgiving. What's the difference?
This is the million-dollar question. So here's the deal. Yams are an entirely different vegetable, let's call them. They're a tuber. Sweet potatoes are technically more of a root vegetable than a tuber. And that difference is what the plant is prone to store. So when you have a sweet potato, it's going to be storing fiber, minerals, vitamins, and a little bit of sugar, along with a lot of water. Tubers tend to hold simple starches. And so you see that with white potatoes as well as true yams. So a true yam is going to be a sort of a white to creamy yellow fleshed, starchy, plant that grows under the, or food that grows under the ground. But it's got this thick, dark brown, bumpy skin. And the real key is that you're not really going to find them in most grocery stores in the United States. Most shops are not going to be carrying yams. So if you're going into a store and you see them labeled as yams, you're buying a sweet potato. Hmm. And where that confusion came from, the story goes that in, I think it's the 1930s, the Louisiana sweet potato growers wanted to differentiate their sweet potatoes from, let's say, Mississippi's. And so they started calling them yams. And it was just sort of a marketing idea, but it really stuck. And so that's where the confusion originated.
Oh, interesting. So there's quite a history here with sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about where they come from?
Yeah, so they're from Central America originally, and they have traveled the whole world. They are found in a variety of Asian cuisines. They're found in Polynesian islands as well, and grown in Hawaii, for example, and Japan. They are also becoming very popular in the UK as a substitute for regular potatoes. And again, I think due to the health reasons, and they're also delicious.
We are talking with Mary Frances Heck right now. She's the author of Sweet Potatoes, Roasted, Loaded, Fried, and Made into Pie, a whole recipe book devoted to the sweet potato. And so let's dig into some recipes right now. You shared one with us for Irish fish pie. Walk us through that one.
This is one of my favorites. I grew up in New England, and which is not the home of the sweet potato, but it certainly is the home of wonderful seafood and all these different casseroles. And so I was thinking about it, and, you know, the sweetness of sweet potatoes and the sweetness that you get from really fresh fish complement each other so beautifully. So I thought, why not, you know, make a silky puree and swoop that over the top of an Irish fish pie instead of a, sort of a plain white mashed potato. And it's if I do say so, it's delicious. It's perfect for the cold weather coming.
What is different about the taste? I think we actually have one of our regular Food Friday guests made a fish pie with some potatoes that were white. And I'm curious about what you think changes.
Well, I just think the sweetness of the sweet potato kind of it almost brings out the sweetness of the fish, and it also acts as a foil against the brininess of the shellfish. And that's something I love, sweet seafood, you know, sweet shrimp, scallops, lobster, all of those things are going to have a heightened sweetness from the sweet potato. I think it works really well together.
I suppose then you also have the beautiful color, because if you're doing a straight up Irish fish pie with white potatoes, it's going to be a whole lot of, you know, white looking food.
It can look a little bland, yeah.
Right, so we have that recipe up on the Central Time, the Ideas Network Facebook page, I should say. And let's move on to sweet potato ravioli. This is another one that sounds delicious.
Oh, I love this recipe. It's from my friend Gerard Kraft, who has a restaurant in St. Louis and Nashville. And he came up with this super pungent sauce that's delicious. And again, it's one of those things that it foils with the sweetness of the sweet potato. So that sauce is going to be tomato-y, and it has some sardines in it. It's a little fishy. And when it's served with the sweet potato stuffed ravioli, it's incredible. You taste things, and you taste the brininess of the sauce and the acidity of the tomato in a different way, I think, than you would if you had like a cheese filling.
I love the idea of a homemade ravioli. I've never actually pulled that one off at home. How hard is it to make our own ravioli?
Making ravioli is not hard. Do not be intimidated. But I would say that if you are thinking about cutting out one step, instead of making your own dough, just you can buy pasta sheets, fresh pasta sheets at gourmet grocery stores or at a local pasta shop. And that's a great way to kind of get a head start on the dish.
Gotcha. Well, that's encouraging to hear. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a bad compromise, using the pre-made pasta. And then you still got your homemade ravioli. And I want to ask you about something quintessential with sweet potatoes, something we're seeing everywhere, sweet potato fry. So how do we pull off the quintessential sweet potato fry?
Well, here's the funny thing. Sweet potato fries are never going to be crispy just like French fries. And that has to do with going back to sort of our discussion of the difference between a root vegetable and a tuber. What's in it to start with? In a white potato, you've got some simple starch that wants to get crisp when it's fried. Sweet potatoes have much more water and much less starch to gelatinize on the surface of the cut fry. And as a result, what I like to do is one of two things. Either cut your losses and roast sweet potatoes in a fry shape, and they won't be super crispy, but they'll be crispy enough, and they're delicious. And I call those sweet potato fries the easy way. You know, you just chop them up, toss them with a little oil, get them in the oven. And then what I call sweet potato fries the hard way, which isn't too hard, don't be intimidated. We batter the sweet potatoes with a little bit of a cornstarch slurry. And what that does is creates that starchy coating that will get crisp when it's fried.
And what about any spices or herbs? Do you recommend anything if you want to get a little fancy?
Oh, yeah. I love all kinds of flavor profiles on sweet potato fries. You can definitely go with a classic kind of, I feel like a lot of people put like a little paprika or garlic powder on them just to give them a little bit of that, you know, colorful seasoned salt kind of thing. But I also really love, you know, like try Herbe de Provence or try Old Bay. I love taking them. You could even do like a cinnamon sugar kind of thing. Cinnamon sugar with smoked paprika. Now there's something, you know, sweet and savory at the same time.
It's Food Friday right now, and we're talking with chef and writer Mary Frances Heck about what she says is the perfect food, sweet potatoes. And we're sharing some cooking advice and also talking about some recipes now. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you cook with sweet potatoes? And what recipes do you want to use them in? What do you prefer to, do you ever swap them out for the white potatoes? And what turns out well for you? And what questions do you have about cooking them? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and it's Food Friday. We're talking with Chef Mary Frances Heck, who is the author of the new cookbook called Sweet Potatoes, Roasted, Loaded, Fried, and Made into Pie. And she's sharing some really awesome sweet potato recipes, and you can find one of those over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a sweet potato fan? How do you incorporate them into your cooking? And do you have a favorite sweet potato dish to share? We're getting into that autumnal part of the year when sweet potatoes start to taste really good. So give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Mary, I want to ask you before we go any further about this recipe that you shared with us. Sweet potato trail mix cookies. Walk us through that one. What's in them?
Yeah, so this is one of the a cookie that's, you know, just like any other, but it's got grated sweet potato in it. And I was able to sneak out about half the butter in a typical chocolate chip cookie recipe and add in sweet potato. And what that does is it keeps the cookie kind of moist. They're going to be a little bit cakey but crispy around the edges. And I just love what it does. The flavor of sweet potato and chocolate, for me in particular, is one of my absolute favorites. And this cookie also has got pecans and dried cherries. So I think they're a fantastic addition to a holiday cookie plate, but they'd be just as welcome if you're out for a hike or in a lunchbox.
And you also suggest trying to make sandwiches with these cookies. Can you tell us more about that?
I love cookie sandwiches. Like I said, I grew up in New England, and we have something here called whoopie pies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I love them. I love these cookies sandwiched either with marshmallow fluff, like you'd find in a whoopie pie, or a buttercream frosting, which you also sometimes find.
Oh, gotcha. I was thinking salami or something. I thought you were really breaking some rules. That could be good, too, though. I don't want to judge. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
Well, we have this recipe for sweet potato trail mix cookies up on the Central Time Facebook page and the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we go now to Charlotte in Brooksville. Charlotte, hi.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. What did you want to share?
Oh, I just wanted to share that my husband made beef stew this, I should say, put it in the crock pot this morning. Beef stew with the sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes. And how does it work?
Well, you know what? He cut up, well, he, what do you do? Because I don't cook. Fried the meat, and then he put that in the crock pot, and then he put some sweet potatoes and carrots on top, and it turned out awesome.
Oh.
I just tasted some, so it's really good.
Nice. Sounds like you have a delicious dinner about to happen there, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in with that. And Mary Frances, what do you think about that subbing in sweet potatoes for a beef stew?
Oh, I think that sounds like a great idea. I love how sweet potatoes can cook up when they're braised. You can use orange sweet potatoes, or I also really love white sweet potatoes in braises. I find that they lend a light sweetness to the pot, but what they also do is really absorb some of the wonderful flavors coming out. So something like a beef stew where it's going to be very rich and delicious, that soaks into the sweet potatoes and just becomes part of them. But they maintain their shape as well. So it's kind of a nice, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see in the dish and really delicious.
Well, thanks a lot for that call, Charlotte. And we're going to go next to Kurt joining us from Toma. Kurt, hi.
Hello. Hi. Mary Frances, just one question and one recipe. First, the recipe came out of a need for my wife's diabetes. So I would like to hear any recommendations you have about sweet potatoes in a diabetic diet. Now, the recipe, she loves two things above all else when I cook. That's risotto and sweet potatoes. So I came up with a orange sweet potato braise with asparagus tips, sweet peas, and I experiment with different sauces or flavorings. And I pour that over a risotto that has been prepared with either a beef stock or a French onion stock. Mm. Oh, and one thing, a spice that I like to use on the sweet potato fries or any other just plain sweet potato preparation is ras al hanout.
What was that? One more time, please.
Ras al hanout.
Okay, that's one that's new to me. Kurt, thank you so much for sharing all that. Your risotto sounds delicious, by the way. And I've made risotto maybe once or twice, and it's a time commitment. You're, yeah, good husband there cooking risotto for your wife. Mary Frances, could you talk a little bit about sweet potatoes in a diabetic diet, and what do you think about Kurt's treatment there with his sweet potato risotto?
Sure, yeah. Well, I won't claim to be a nutritionist, but I will say that from my research, I found that sweet potatoes are hypoglycemic, and so they're digested sort of slowly. They don't cause an insulin spike, despite the fact that they taste kind of sweet. And I think that is one of the best things about them. If you're concerned about eating white starches, which could cause an insulin spike, sweet potatoes are a great substitute. They eat like a starch, but they are in fact a little bit gentler on your system. And as for the risotto, that sounds absolutely delicious. Another thing I like to do personally with risotto is to get the risotto about halfway cooked with the liquid, and then I stir in like some sweet potato puree, and the whole thing turns a sort of pretty orange. And I found that that's like a tasty way to do it as well. But everything you're adding to it sounds great. And I also think ras al hanout, which is sort of a spice blend from the Levant, would be a fantastic addition to sweet potato fries.
Oh, great. And I learned something there. Thank you so much, Kurt. And thanks for calling in with that. And another call here we go to is Kelly in Madison. Kelly, hi.
Hi.
What is your recipe?
I like to do twice baked sweet potatoes. So what I do is I bake the potatoes first in the oven, and then I cut them in half. I scoop out the sweet potato stuff, and I like to mash it with black beans, and I put onions and corn and salsa in there. Mm. And then I add some cumin and coriander and cilantro, and then I top it with salsa, and then add cheese right on the top and pop them back in the oven. They're delicious.
That does sound delicious. Yeah, and I think you have something maybe a little similar in your book, Mary Frances.
Yeah, but that version sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. I love to finish them, you know, regardless of what you mix back into the sweet potatoes. I love to top them kind of like nachos. So I love doing a little pickled jalapenos, sour cream, you know, scallions, avocado, whatever you would want on tacos or nachos. I love adding that as well.
That sounds fantastic, Kelly. Thank you for bringing that up. And Mary Frances, you mentioned sweet potato puree earlier, and I imagine there are other things you can add sweet potato puree to, and I know you use it in baking, but it can take a while, right? Because you have to, you know, peel your sweet potatoes, cube them, cook them, steam them, and then puree them. Is there a way to have a shortcut to get to that puree for your other baking?
You can definitely cheat with the microwave. Some people don't like to use a microwave, and I think that's fine, but I personally have found that when I'm in a rush and I want to get a recipe started, if you grab sweet potatoes, set them on a plate, you can put, you know, maybe three or four in at a time, and I prick them with a fork and then microwave them on high for 4 to 5 minute increments, rotating them and turning them until they're soft. And it can take anywhere from, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, depending on your microwave. Just keep an eye on them and let them cool a little bit. You know, you want to make sure that a fork would go all the way through a sweet potato, and that's when it's ready to become puree. then cut them in half, scoop out the flesh, and mash it with a fork or a potato masher or even, you know, like in your KitchenAid mixer until you have a nice puree.
And can you freeze that at all? Will that freeze well?
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of the best things to do. You know, I'll what I call triage 5 pounds of sweet potatoes, turn them all into puree, and then fill Ziploc bags with about 1 cup of sweet potato puree, because that's about what, you know, most of the recipes take, 1 to 1.5 cups. And then seal the Ziploc bags and stack them flat in the freezer, like little planks. And they'll freeze hard, and it kind of keeps your freezer organized that way. And then you can just pull them out and let it thaw in the fridge, and you're ready to go.
Oh, what a great idea. Well, we can't let you go without asking about sweet potato ice cream, which looks incredible in your book. What do you do for sweet potato ice cream?
So this is a really fun recipe. It doesn't have the exact same mouthfeel as ice creams that you might have had before, and that's because it is thickened with the sweet potato. It's instead of eggs or a starch, which are two ways you can thicken an ice cream, I thicken this ice cream with sweet potatoes. And so you cook the sweet potatoes in the milk and cream until they're tender, and then puree it with some sweetener and a little bit of spice, and then freeze it. And what you end up with is an ice cream that is lightly sweet, lightly flavored with the sweet potato, but is completely egg-free. And so I think that's a great choice if someone avoids eggs or just wants to try a different way to make ice cream.
Now, all sounds delicious. Mary Frances, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Mary Frances Heck. She's a food writer, recipe developer, and chef, also former test kitchen director of Bon Appetit. Her new book, it's called Sweet Potatoes, Roasted, Loaded, Fried, and Made into Pie. And you can find a recipe for her sweet potato trail mix cookies over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.